I want to invite you to take your Bibles, your New Testaments, open them up to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 7. And at the start of this new year, I want to begin a brand new sermon series that will really take us, well, I almost hesitate to tell you how long it will take us, not because I'm not sure, just I don't want you to be wore out with it, but I think it will take us all the way to Easter. And I'm already looking forward to Easter. I don't know about you. And this will be a series that I've been thinking about probably longer than any series I've ever thought about. I've done more planning and praying about this series for some time. It's entitled, Is There a Doctrine in the House? Now, you'll have to admit, that's pretty clever. And at least I thought it was clever. And you know, it's a little bit of a play on words because, you know, if you're at least my generation, you've probably seen a television show or a movie. There'll be some medical emergency in some type of public setting, whether some party or some theater. And then there's someone that cries out, is there a doctor in the house? And of course, they're referring to a medical doctor. But the words are related. You may or may not know this, but let me tell you about the word doctor. The word doctor is an interesting word. The word doctor comes from the Latin. It just means teacher. The first people who were called doctors were those teachers within the church, those who were teaching the teachings of the church. The same root word and the same word root is the word we get the word doctrine from. And doctrine just means teaching. In other words, doctrine is what doctors teach. And so the first people that were called doctors and the first doctrines were those theologians and scholars of the church that were teaching the teachings of the church. And I was just thinking about it. You know, I've been thinking about this series I mentioned for some time and just looking for the right time to teach it. And what I mean, this has been for a few years. And so in planning the preaching, I would just kind of think, well, maybe not this year, and kind of push it off until this year. And I think that just was confirmation to me of the providence of how God was speaking to us because, you know, we're living, no doubt, in the most challenging of times, in the sickest of worlds. Literally and spiritually, we live in a sick world. And the only hope that we can really hold on to is found in the church. You know, I firmly believe that the church is God's plan and only plan for salvation and for hope within the world. The church is the only hope of the world because we have been promised to give this gospel hope to others. So we have this doctrine that's been given to us, this important doctrine. And it's important for us as the church and as a church to reconfirm that there is a doctrine in the house. Now, we're going to spend the next several weeks looking at some of the most, I think, important doctrines that constitute our faith, that are part of Christianity and the church. Now, this is not going to be an exhaustive survey of doctrine of the church, but we're going to pick out some of the most essential doctrines of the church. We're going to be looking at some of those things that every Christian ought to know, those things that every Christian needs to know. And so these are things, as a believer, you need to know. These are things that the church rests upon its foundation. And as I was thinking about how to kick this off, I just figured, it just dawned on me, you know, we've got to do a little rehabbing of the word doctrine. First of all, the word is sort of dull and boring. And you're probably already thinking, well, this is going to be a real yawner. And that's probably a little bit more positive then the other aspect of the word doctrine, because it's kind of, it's a word that's really fallen on hard times, because it seems to be a negative word. And not only is it negative, but many think of it as a nasty word. And it's not just unfortunate, but it's also dangerous. So I have a preacher friend. He was telling us the story one day that he was overhearing a conversation of one of his most best faithful church members. And they were having this conversation with someone, and no doubt they were inviting them to come to the church, because this church member just loved the church. And they were just talking in glowing terms of every positive thing they could think about their church. And then the church member said, "Well, you'll just love our church. We don't teach doctrine." And it sort of stunned him a little bit. And of course, that church member thought, well, they were being positive and didn't want to put somebody off. And it was a way of just saying, you know, our church really is open and accepting, and it's not divisive, and, you know, those types of things. But the truth is, there is no such thing as a doctrineless church. Every church teaches doctrine. Now, it may not be true doctrine or sound doctrine, but all of us as churches teach doctrine. Let me just ask you for a moment, over these past few minutes, let me just ask you, when you hear the word doctrine, does it evoke positive feelings or negative emotions? And I think I probably know the answer to that, if you're honestly to think about it, that unfortunately, for many within the church, it sort of evokes these negative feelings. Now, my goal is we want to rehab doctrine and see why it is not dull but is exciting, and why it is not negative but very positive here. And so when we think about doctrine and the people who strongly hold to doctrines, they are often viewed as being, well, difficult, divisive, sometimes arrogant. They're usually not regarded as being loving or accepting of others. Now, that isn't the case in every situation. I know it's true often, but it should not be the case ever, because these two things are not contradictory. You can hold strongly to doctrine and not be divisive, and not be derisive, not be difficult, and surely not arrogant. And we will see that during the course of the next few weeks in our study. There are some doctrines that are cardinal doctrines. These are doctrines in which there is no room for movement. These are bedrock doctrines. You cannot be a Christian and not hold to these doctrines. There are other doctrines that are, you might say, minor doctrines that are not essential doctrines, but they're doctrines nonetheless. They are sometimes distinctives within certain churches and denominations. And these doctrines are not those essential doctrines of the church. They're just an explanation of the teachings of that particular group. And so that's what we're going to be looking at as we talk about doctrine. So, with anything, we just want to kind of jump in, lay a little groundwork, and I'll let you know where we're going and why we're doing this study over these next few weeks. And so I want to begin with a story that we find right in the Bible. It's a story that's told by Jesus. And the story that he told was a conclusion to a sermon. And matter of fact, it's the conclusion to what is arguably the most famous sermon in the world. It's Jesus' Sermon on the Mount that we find in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And so that's why I wanted you to open your Bible to Matthew chapter 7. And we will begin reading in verse 24, where Jesus is talking about two kinds of builders. talking about two kinds of people. And now he's wanting to use this conclusion and illustration, I think, to sort of bolster the fact of what he's been laying out there in the Sermon on the Mount. And so this is what Jesus says. Now, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them, puts them into practice, will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And so when the rains fell and the floods came and the winds blew and they beat on that house, it did not fall because it had been founded, it had the foundation on the rock. In contrast to that, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice, does not do them, well, they will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And so when the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against the house, well, it fell. And great was the fall of it. Now, as you just sort of listen to those words of Jesus, you can really just ask the question that is implied by that story. And the question is, what are you building your life on? And are you like the wise man or the foolish man? Are you building your life and placing your hopes upon the rock? Or are you placing your life and your hopes on the sand? What is the foundation that you're building your life on? So when the storms come, and they will come, it makes a difference what your life is built upon. And especially when that great and final storm of life comes, which is death, it really makes a difference for all of eternity. It makes a difference what your life is built upon now and forever. So let me just ask you this question this morning. What are you actually choosing when you choose to be a Christian? I think this is one of the most important questions that any of us who are followers of Christ, we have to ask ourselves, what is it that we are actually choosing when we choose to follow Christ, choose to be Christians? And what we need to be reminded of is that genuine Christian faith is not just a cultural tradition or a moral code. That is not a foundation to build your life upon. Christianity, it's just not this cultural, hereditary, family tradition. I think all of us know that we are way beyond the point of thinking that this is a Christian nation, and as Americans, we are all Christians. That day has come and gone. This is so much more than just a moral code of rights and wrongs and behaviors. And so we need to know, what is it that we're actually choosing when we choose Christ and choose to be a Christian? Now, when we think about doctrine, there are really two other words. And I just want to be careful here not to get too much into the weeds, but there are two other words that are really important to understand, and we'll be using them during the course of the next several weeks together. And that first word we'll look at is the word theology. And so, I can remember, when I graduated from high school and I felt the Lord call me into ministry, I was going to go to Bible college. And so I can remember coming back home from Bible college and running into an old coach of mine, and we were catching up a little bit, and he asked me what I was doing, where I was going, what I was studying. I said, well, I'm studying theology. And I'd only known that word for a few weeks, to tell you the truth, okay? And so I just remember he said, oh, seology, that is so great. And I think the whole time, I didn't even try to explain. He just said seology, which I don't know if he thought I was going to be a marine biologist, which was a big stretch. I don't know if it's as big a stretch as thinking I was going to be a preacher and study theology. But it was only when I got to the Bible college and enrolled in a class that had some theology in the course title that I even begin to learn what it was. But it's not really a scary word at all. It's just a simple word. Theo means God. You may say ology. It comes from logos. It just means the study of God. That is what theology is. Theology is just the study of God, the nature of God, who he is, how he thinks, how he acts in the world. And so we'll be looking at theology. Theology matters. Because if you get your theology wrong, well, then your whole life is going to be wrong. And so this is why theology is important. The other word that we'll often hear and refer to is the word orthodoxy. Now, orthodoxy is one of those really, you know, words that sounds a little bit too high church, too formal, but it's a good word. It just means right thinking. It means to have the right opinion. Orthodox is the correct thinking about something. Now, you may question, when you talk about orthodox, is it right or wrong, and who establishes right or wrong? In general practices, as the word is used across the board, it's those generally, most widely accepted, longest accepted thinkings and opinions that are considered to be correct. And you find this word in all kinds of disciplines. From medicine, there are orthodox medical procedures, and sometimes you've heard about doctors who are quite unorthodox. I mean, they're doing things that are different, that are novel. And so, for example, this vaccine that has come out for COVID-19, one way you could describe it, it's a very unorthodox vaccine, in the sense it was made to be as quickly as possible to the general public, which is a good thing. But it did not go through the normally accepted orthodox procedure, which takes years. And so there are reasons why, in some cases, things are unorthodox. When we talk about doctrine, it is very, very rare, if it ever comes, that it is right for something that is novel to be correct. We look at those things within the church that have been generally accepted by the broadest group for the longest time to be orthodox. And so doctrine is clearly taught in the Bible and affirmed by the church that is orthodox. These are the historic creeds of the Christian faith. Let me give you an example of what we're talking about. When we talk about orthodox doctrines, there is one God and only one God who created all things. God is triune in his nature, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Bible is God's inerrant word and revelation of himself to all of humanity. Jesus was born of the Virgin, eternal Son of God. Jesus died as a substitute for sinners so that we could be forgiven. Jesus rose from the dead on the third day. Jesus will one day return to judge the world. That is orthodox Christianity. Any variation out of that is false heresy and is not Christianity. And let me tell you, much more than that is important, but not necessarily essential. You just sum it down to those things. So these will be some of the things we will talk about. And we'll broaden that out just a little bit and talk about some other things. So, doctrine. Doctrine comes out of theology. And so you have the study of God as he's revealed himself. And then you have those teachings that come from the study of God. That is the doctrine that teachers teach, the church professes. So here's the definition of doctrine that we're looking at. Doctrine is what the whole Bible teaches about a particular subject. It's what the whole Bible teaches about a particular subject. Now, that definition could be picked at a little bit, and it could be open to some improvement by some. But basically, when we talk about doctrine, we talk about what the whole Bible teaches. Well, of course, that's going to be what we interpret in our interpretation, which is not the Bible, but our interpretation of the Bible within the church, the best we can determine, this is what the Bible teaches. Quite simply, doctrine is what the church believes and teaches. That's the doctrine. What we believe and what we teach. And some are essential doctrines. They don't waver among, or these orthodox cardinal doctrines don't waver at all. There are those within the church, and we have those doctrines that we look in their church, that we may disagree with some other brothers and sisters in Christ on this particular non-essential doctrine that doesn't make us any less brothers and sisters, nor does it make us right and make them wrong. Nor does it make us, wrong? No. Does it make us right? No. This is the best we can determine through what the Bible, as we discern, teaches and what we believe. So doctrine is what the church believes and what it teaches and what it confesses on the basis of our best interpretation, understanding of the Bible, which we determine to be God's word. You might take it a little further and say doctrine is the foundation of what we build our lives upon. And so whether or not you know it, you have doctrine. Because you've built your life on something. Only you're going to know for sure what you have built your life on, what you're building your life and hopes upon. But whatever that is your doctrine. So Paul said to Timothy, the older to the younger protege, in 1 Timothy 4:16, watch your life and doctrine closely. Because these two things cannot be separated. And by the way, just a little point, sometimes in your Bible translations, this word doctrine will be translated teachings. And the same word, doctrine or teachings, same word. So watch your life and your doctrine closely. And so doctrine literally is just the study. It's the study of what God has to say to us about certain questions that all of us ask. You might think of doctrine as the answer to life's questions. For example, how do we determine right from wrong? You know, who determines what is right and what is wrong and why it is right and why it is wrong? If who is to say what is absolute truth? Or what happens to me when I die? The one absolute guarantee that I have in this life is that this life will come to an end. I know, unless the Lord returns before then, I know I'm going to die. It would be prudent, to say the least, if I should just deal with the question, what happens next? What happens when we die? Why do bad things happen to good people? You know, why is there so much pain and evil and suffering in the world? Why are there viruses that turn into pandemics that literally kill hundreds of thousands of people? Why do people act the way that they act? Why do they do the things that they do? Where can I find the life that I long for? Where can these deepest desires of my life find satisfaction? The answer to all of those questions rests in doctrine. To me, that makes doctrine practical, relevant, hopefully exciting, something that I want to understand, something that I want to know, something I must know and get it right. Chuck Swindoll, one of my favorite Bible teachers and preachers, says this about doctrine. He says, what roots are to a tree, the doctrines are to the Christian. From them we draw our emotional stability, our mental food for growth, as well as our spiritual energy and perspective for life itself. By returning to our roots, our doctrine, we determine precisely where we stand. We equip ourselves for living the life God designed us to live. Now you think about that. What's doctrine? Doctrine is what equips us to live the life that God has designed for us to live. And so it's important to know these, to understand these. And so hopefully, you know, this just sort of whets your appetite of what we're looking at when it comes to looking at doctrine, why we should look at doctrine. So what I will share with you in the closing few minutes that we have is a little bit of a motivation of why we should learn and why we should know doctrine. Why should you learn doctrine? And why at the beginning of a new year should you spend time in God's Word, taking notes on Sunday, looking at God's Word during the week? Why should we learn doctrine? So let me just give you five. We could give several different reasons. Let me give you five big answers to me that they just kind of strike me. First of all, learning doctrine, it helps you know God better. It just helps you know God better. Because now you're looking at the beliefs and teachings of the church that come out of theology, which is the study of God that comes from God's Word, how God has revealed himself. It helps us know God better. Theologian J.I. Packer said, "We are cruel to ourselves if we try to live in this world without knowing the God whose world it is and who runs it." You know, it could be a little bit of a self-motivation, self-serving, but for no other reason, you're cruel to yourself if you don't really try to understand who God is, the creator of this world, and how he runs this world. He goes on to say, the world becomes a strange, mad, painful place for those who do not know about God. That, in other words, who have no hope and no foundation to build their life upon. Maybe I can illustrate it like this. It'd be like going out to your car and trying to drive your car with all the windows blacked out. And I'm not talking about tinted, I'm talking about blacked out. In other words, you can't see out of the car. Several years ago, it was a bad snowstorm. And it was back, this last storm we had, it goes back several years. I'm going back a few years before that. It was a really bad snowstorm here in Broken Arrow. And we lived at our old house. And leave our neighbor on the old house, we had to drive out onto a busy road. You know, this is so stupid. I never told very many people this, so don't tell anybody this, okay? But I had to be somewhere. The car was outside. It was all covered with ice. So I got it started, but I was running late. So I chipped a little hole in the windshield about this big. And yeah, literally this big. I never told Donnell this before. Don't tell her. And so I drove out and I was going to pull out on the road. That's the only place I chipped. I can't see right or left. This is so stupid. I thought you were smarter than that. Well, I wasn't that day. And I think, surely nobody. This is so stupid, I can't believe I'm telling you this. And I'm thinking, surely no one else would be stupid enough to drive on a day like today. And I eased out on the road. As I eased out on the road, some other stupid person zipped right past me, driving faster than they should be driving. I mean, a second earlier, I would have driven right in front of them, pulling out on the road. The reason was I could not see. Nobody is stupid enough to get in their car, all the windows blacked out, and decide, I think I'll drive. I'm just going to stop there with that story. You don't do it, but why? Because you don't know where you're going. Well, not knowing doctrine is like driving a car, which you don't know where you're going. And so knowing doctrine, it's not the same as having a relationship with Christ, reconciled with God, but it is an essential part of that relationship with God. Knowing who God is, understanding who God is. Proverbs 2:5 says it this way, tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight. Ask for understanding. Search them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasures. Verse 5, then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. And so these next several weeks, what you're doing is you're seeking wisdom. You're concentrating on understanding. You're looking, crying out for insight. You're gaining knowledge of God. Now, quickly, I'll just give you the other four, all right? Number two, it is the essential foundation for life. Doctrine provides us the essential foundation of life because all of us, as I said, build our life on some type of foundation. You know, I lived in that other house, and one day we discovered there were cracks in the walls on the inside of the house and on the outside of the house. And the brick had started to crack. It was a sure sign. We knew what it was. We called the expert in. He came and looked at the foundation. I'll never forget his words. He says something to this effect, your foundation has failed. And you will need piers. And so we did what the only thing we could do. We bit off a big chunk of money and had the expert come, and he began to give us several piers to build up the foundation that had failed. In essence, what we're doing is we're peering up our lives. The true is the same for life. These foundations are the guidelines for our decisions that we make and how we think and the direction of life. In other words, doctrine determines what is called worldview, and how we think about the world and how we see how the world works. A faulty, false foundation, a faulty foundation is like the opinion of others, or it's our own feelings, or traditions that we've held on to and accepted without really making our own. The good, solid foundation of life is just like a foundation for a building. A foundation for a building is expensive. It is time consuming. I've never yet talked to somebody that's done any kind of building project that somewhere along the line, those early part of the building project, says something like this. I just didn't know it would take so long and cost so much to get out of the ground. And if you don't take the time and don't spend the money, you get a faulty foundation and the building collapses. And the same is true of our Christian life. We spend time on it. Without it, there are disastrous consequences. Life without the foundation of doctrine makes us vulnerable to every circumstance that comes our way. We're tossed around. We're victimized by every false wind of teaching. Ephesians 4:14. Paul says, let us grow up then. Then we'll no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown around by every wind of new teaching. We'll not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like truth. Here are three more truths. I'll just give them to you quickly. Thirdly, it strengthens your soul, you grow spiritually, and enables you to serve others. Doctrine is solid food we build our lives upon. Number four, it protects us from false teachers and their teachings. It is so vital today because I'm telling you, it is rampant, the false teaching that is prevalent today, not just on television, but now through social media, and there's false doctrine everywhere. But we should be rooted and built up in the truth. And the fifth one, as we've been talking about, it teaches you how to live. It teaches you how to think. And as you think, then your behavior comes out of your beliefs, and that's how you act. Whether or not you know it or not, you act on what you believe. You can say what you believe, but how you act really is the true tell of what you believe. And if I told you, I have taped a $100 bill under one of these seats here this morning in this room, would you look? Well, I don't know. You'd look only if you believed it was true. And if you thought it wasn't true, you wouldn't bother looking. You can determine whether or not it's true or not. It determines how you live. By learning doctrine concerning God, mankind, sin, grace, salvation, Christ, the cross, Holy Spirit, redemption, the church, the future, and life after death, one can only learn to live by waiting to meet Jesus, who he knows, through studying, learning, living, and loving doctrine. And so I'm looking forward to this study with you. Most of all, it's not that you know doctrine, but you know the one that the doctrine teaches about, as you know God and who Jesus Christ is and what he's done for you. And you can know him today. And I'll tell you all about it if you'd like to know him right up front after we pray and worship together. Let's pray. Father, we're about to embark on a study that, Father, will take us to places maybe that none of us have ever been before. If only it will give us a firm foundation to build our lives upon, which can be so shaky. Because, Father, if I know anything about this past year and have any certainty about this new year, we need to be on a solid foundation, because the storms of life aren't going to stop coming. And we should be built upon the foundation of truth that's revealed to us in your word. And that's doctrine. We ask you'll bless us over these days to come. Thank you for the hope we have in the rock that we call Jesus Christ. It's his name we pray. Amen.